I think REITs are very complementary to institutions as they're looking to have a well-balanced portfolio allocation to real estate. Obviously, there is liquidity. There's also transparency. And for many institutions, they're pulling that allocation back into their real estate allocation from public equities. And we think that's pretty notable.
Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Wilson-Kito. My guest today is Doug Weil, founder and co-managing partner at Hodes Weil & Associates, a leading global capital advisory firm. Doug is here to talk about the role of real estate in institutional portfolios and the impact of institutional allocation trends on the investment management industry. Doug, thanks for joining the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Hodes Weil recently released the 2023 Real Estate Allocations Monitor, which showed that institutions' target allocations to real estate were flat year over year. And this was the first time in a decade that allocations didn't increase. What does that signify in a broader context to you?
That's right. Allocations were flat at about 10.8% this year. So it's really the first time in over 10 years, at least since we've been doing this survey, that we have seen allocations remain flat. And I think primary reason is probably that institutions are very cautious in the market today. And while they're reasonably optimistic about the opportunity to invest over the next couple of years, right now, in the moment, there are numerous cross currents. And as a result, institutions are cautious and not increasing their target allocations. I would note, though, that there are a number of institutions of significant size that have increased their target allocations over the past 12 months. And I think that has been a signal to the market that they are encouraged about the opportunity to invest and perhaps leaning into the opportunity. So I would point out Norges Bank, one of the largest institutions in the world, increased the target allocation, as did CalSTRS. So I thought that was pretty notable.
Great. And Doug, how would you characterize the mood of institutional real estate investors? And do you think they see potential amid the current market uncertainty?
Again, I think they're right now very cautious. What we found in the survey in terms of the responses and also some of the commentary is that institutions expect the next couple of years will be a good vintage years to deploy capital into the market. But right now, they're moving very slowly and really largely on the sidelines. And that has really been the case since really the second quarter of 22. So we're reasonably optimistic that the capital will begin to flow again over the coming quarters. And I would also point out that, at least to us, it's notable that this feels very different from the global financial crisis, where many institutions were dealing with very significant portfolio issues as it related to real estate, whereas today real estate has held up reasonably well, in particular, operating fundamentals. So real estate is not, for most institutions, the problem allocation. And I think that bodes well for the likelihood that they come back to the market when we begin to see a bottom.
This year, for the first time, the Real Estate Allocations Monitor asked investors about their use of REITs. What do the numbers show in terms of how investors are using REITs in their portfolios?
Well, first, I'd like to thank and acknowledge Nareit for guiding us on adding a section on REITs in this year's survey. I think it is really additive to the research. What we have seen is that the two primary objectives for institutions when they look at investing in REITs is both for liquidity and also as a way to access core real estate and very high quality real estate at that. For the larger institutions in particular, they noted that there are also tactical reasons that they invest in REITs, which include being opportunistic and taking advantage of situations where REITs are trading below intrinsic value, and then also to access certain strategies or sectors or geographies to round out their portfolios. So pretty dynamic. I think most importantly for institutions, they're increasingly looking at REITs as complementary to what they do on the private side in their portfolio.
So, Doug, given your own background in private real estate, would you say that your thinking toward using REITs has perhaps shifted in recent years?
I think that is the case. If I could just back up a moment, I did spend about 8 years in my career in the 90s as a REIT investment banker covering both IPOs, follow-on equity raises, and also M&A activity. So I do have some perspective coming out of the public side. And again, I think REITs are very complementary to institutions as they're looking to have a well-balanced portfolio allocation to real estate. Obviously, there is liquidity. There's also transparency. And for many institutions, they're pulling that allocation back into their real estate allocation from public equities. And we think that's pretty notable.
And Doug, you've touched on this a bit already, but what are some of the attributes of REITs that you think are producing growing investor allocations?
I think there are a number of factors that I would point out. One I touched on before, transparency and also liquidity. But I would also add to that asset quality. REITs clearly own some of the highest quality real estate in the industry. And so for an institution to access that quality of real estate, REITs are a great option. I think also scale. There are some asset strategies, namely data centers, where it's the size of the assets are so large right now and getting bigger that really for an investor on the private side, it's hard to get allocation and at the same time get diversification. And then finally, the quality of the management teams. I mean, these are well-tenured teams that have operated through multiple cycles. They know how to manage a balance sheet, and that provides a unique value opportunity or value proposition for institutions.
And the 2023 monitor also shows the majority of institutions reporting that ESG policies do have an impact on investment decisions. Are you seeing any geographic variation in how ESG is impacting investment strategy?
We are. It's obviously very topical for the industry. We continue to see institutions in Europe and also out of Australia really lead the industry where they are not only putting in place formal policies, but they are using those policies to drive investment decisions. If you look to institutions in the United States, for better or worse, they're really at the back of the pack in terms of implementing ESG. And obviously, it's been quite political here in the United States. But year over year, across geographies, see continued uptake in ESG as an important part of investing, not just a nice to have, but actually a way to round out your investment strategy and consider other factors that do have an impact on performance.
And Doug, are there any particular property sectors that you think institutional investors will be most focused on in 2024?
I think it's really the sectors that continue to have favorable tailwinds and operating fundamentals. So we continue to see strong demand for industrial strategies, for residential strategies, including multifamily, and also increasing or growing demand for single family, in particular, purpose-built single family rentals. Student housing has performed very well through COVID, as we've all seen, and there's continued interest in student housing. And then some of the specialty asset classes as well. I mentioned data centers, very strong tailwinds, which we're all well aware of, and a hard asset class to access. And then storage, self-storage in particular, we see continued interest. And then finally, I would round that out by saying, given the volatility in the market and the change in valuations, there is interest in distress and dislocation. So we expect that investors will look to take advantage of the repricing in the market we're all seeing today. And again, probably may wait to see a bottom before they're more active, but they are recognizing that there could be a good window to deploy capital.
Great. Now, we've covered a lot of ground, but is there any additional topics or thoughts on the outlook for REITs and publicly listed real estate for next year, Doug, that you'd like to share?
I would just point out that there's a disconnect in pricing, where public REITs are implying value is today versus the private side. And the truth is probably somewhere in between. So we'll continue to see that play out in the markets. But I would also point out that many of the REITs are looking to private capital strategies themselves to invest capital at a time where perhaps they don't have the balance sheet capacity relative to the buying opportunity that they see, or otherwise are looking to just round out their sources of capital. So we increasingly are seeing REITs access capital either in joint ventures or even in funds or separate accounts to complement their access to the public markets. And I think you'll continue to see that play out, and you'll continue to see REITs access private capital partners, both from a strategic standpoint and really from a cost of capital standpoint.
Excellent, Doug. Thanks so much for joining the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.